Blog Talk Radio.
So here we are, another Norm at Night. You know the number, 347-945-6713. If you want to call in and talk to Norm live, if you want to just go in the chat room, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, Norm at Night, get yourself in the chat room. We got a chat room open, and right now there's nobody in it but me. So if you come there and you want to say something, I promise you that it'll get to the audience in general. We only got 30 minutes tonight, and we're going to have a little compressed show, but that's okay. We'll be back to our hour next week. We're in the final drive to 20,000 listeners, and that's kind of exciting. We are at 19,299 listens to the Norm at Night show. Yeah, you know, I know I'm not rivaling the big networks, but there's 20,000 of you out there, or almost 20,000, and will be soon, I hope, that find what we have to offer here of some value. There's no question that Norm at Night comes to you from the left side of the aisle. Because Norm writes left-handed, and we don't have a lot of money. In fact, we don't have any money, and that is going to present a problem to the Norm at Night show beginning on February 1st. Blog Talk Radio, I'm sorry, not Blogger, let's get that straight. Blog Talk Radio, I guess I'm one of the last of the free shows still in prime time, maybe even with any kind of listener base. So, hey, I got a friend in the chat room, but starting February 1st, Norm at Night will no longer be able to stay free, so, or in prime time. So starting February 1st, the show will move back to 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and will only be at the 30-minute show. Although I am considering actually capitulating and becoming a pay show, but I have to be able to justify $30 a month because that's what it costs. And I really want to keep the Norm at Night show free and honest. Still nobody in the caller room. 347-945-6713 if you want to call in. But I'm not going to make an official announcement tonight, but I can tell you that the Norm at Night show will possibly this summer be broadcasting to you from under the Alaskan sky. We are in negotiations right now with an Alaskan wilderness group that wants to maybe include the Norm at Night show. I do for a 6-week stay. That's all up in the air right now, but it is really something that Norm really really wants to do. There are a lot of factors right now, but keep that in mind for the future. Norm at Night just may be coming to you from Warrell, Alaska. And it's actually from an island off the coast of Alaska, which is really pretty cool. Maybe they should just exile Norm at Night to that island. Maybe Norm wants to just go someplace like that and spend the last 10 years of his life. Because they're probably digging the hole for me. But anyway, what are we going to do tonight? The Colt is in the chat room, too, and he'll be calling in later. The first thing, I'd like everybody, if you possibly can, to go to thewashingtonpost.com. And there's just a great, great piece by Richard Cohen on the Afghan War. There's no question about it. The war has to stop. We have absolutely, in Norm's view, absolutely no reason to be there at all. Let me find a Cohen piece here. Cohen starts out, I present you with a paradox. The U.S. Army that fought the Vietnam War was reviled, not spit upon, that's a myth, but not much admired either. In contrast, the Army of Iraq and Afghanistan is embraced and praised. Yet one was an army of the people, draftees and such, and the other is an army of volunteers, strangers to most of us. What happens here? The answer, I fear, is a cliche. Familiarity breeds contempt. That, I fear, in the preceding paragraph is not an artsy pause, but a genuine emotion. The Vietnam War Army happened to... The Vietnam War Army happened to have been my army, says Cohen. I was on active duty as a reservist, not for very long, but long enough for the Army to have lost all its mystery. I found the Army to be no better and no worse than any other large institution. Some of its leaders were fools, and some soldiers were thieves, and everyone wasted money like there was no tomorrow. This is the truth, and everyone once knew it. No more, I sometimes think, I'm the only person around who's been in the military. This is because most people I know are college-educated professionals, many of them writers. But if I throw in the politicians and even the White House staff, nothing much changes. Lots of people know the expression, lock and load, but very few know how to do it. And this is the important paragraph. The military of today is removed from society in general. It is a majority white, and according to the Heritage Foundation study, disproportionately Southern. New England is underrepresented, and so are the big cities. But the poor are no longer cannon fodder, if they ever were, and neither are blacks. We all fight and die, just about in proportion to our numbers in the population. The all-volunteer military has enabled America to fight two wars while many of its citizens do not know of a single fatality or even of anyone who's fought overseas. This is a military constricted by culture and class, indeed not coerced, indoctrinated in all the proper cliches about serving one's country, honored and romanticized by those of us who would not, for a moment, think of doing the same. You get the picture. Talking about the picture, what exactly is wrong with it? Cohen says, a couple of things. First Assistant Army enables us to fight wars about which the general public is largely indifferent. Had there been a draft, the war in Iraq might never have been fought or would have produced the civil protest of the Vietnam era. The Iraq debacle was made possible by a professional military and by going into debt. George W. Bush didn't need your body or in the short run your money. Southerners would fight and foreigners would buy the bonds. For understandable reasons, no great songs have come out of the war in Iraq. The other problem is that the military has become something of a priesthood. It is virtually worshipped for its admirable qualities, while its less admirable ones are hardly mentioned or known. It has such standing that it is awfully hard for mere civilians, including the commander-in-chief, to question it. Dwight Eisenhower could because he had the stars on his shoulders, and when he warned of the military-industrial complex, people paid some attention. Harry Truman had fought in World War I, and John Kennedy and Gerald Ford in another. But now the political cupboard of combat vets is bare, and there are few civilian leaders who have the experience the standing to question the military. There is yet another reason to mourn the death of Richard Holbrooke. He learned in Vietnam that stars don't make for infallibility, sometimes just for arrogance. Little wars tend to metastasize. They are nourished by chaos. Government employees in Nevada direct drones to kill insurgents in Afghanistan. The repercussions can be felt years later. We kill coldly for reasons of policy, omitting for reasons of taste that the line from mafia movies, nothing personal, but revenge comes back hot and furious. It's personal. And we no longer remember why. The great Afghanistan reassessment has come and gone, and outside of civil circles, no one much paid attention. In this respect, the United States has become like Rome or the British Empire, able to fight non-essential wars with a professional military in places like Iraq. Ultimately, this will drain us financially and, in a sense, spiritually as well. War is too important to be left to the generals. A wise saying goes, too horrible too. I didn't really mean to read that whole thing, but once I got going with it, I couldn't stop. And I don't even know if anybody's in the, hey, I got a caller coming in. Go ahead, 410. You're on the air, 410. Go ahead. Hello? 410-913, you're on the air. I don't know why I'm having trouble here. Hello, 410. 410-913, are you there? I guess I'm having trouble. I'm gonna hang up. All right. 410, are you there? Hello? I got a caller here, but I'm not able to... I got another caller coming in. Let's try it. Go ahead. You're on with Norm. I'm having trouble. I'm not 100% sure what's going on here. You're on with Norm at night. 410-913. Hello? I don't know what's happening here, and I'm really sorry, folks. I apologize to 413, but I'm having trouble. Hello? 413? 410? Hey, Colt, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I got a guy sitting on the line, but I can't seem to hear him, and I'm not 100% sure why.
Yeah. Hmm.
And hopefully he'll call. I'm just going to hang up on him, and hopefully he'll call back.
Yeah, well, not much choice.
I guess not. So what'd you think of Richard Cohen's piece? I didn't mean to read the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, well, you did, you know. But, I don't disagree with it. It's obviously more rhetorical than anything else, you know. When people, you know, put articles out like this, they're legitimate, but they always, you know, they just sort of end, you know, like, well, what's your solution, dude, you know? But, I mean, I realize it's a short piece, a short op-ed.
Okay,
you know?
Go ahead, 410.
There you go, bud. All right, thank you.
Are you with us?
I did hear a voice.
410. Go ahead. I'm having trouble with him. I don't quite. 410, I can't hear a thing you say. I'm going to have to hang up on you again. I'm really sorry, unless I can hear you. Okay, I hung up on him again.
Yeah, it sounds.
I might have my first heavy breather.
Is that what it was? Oh, I thought maybe you.
Sure.
Did you recognize the area code or what?
Well, yeah, 410 is my part of Maryland.
Oh, okay. Well then.
Well, actually, it's the upper half of Maryland around Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Where I actually live is 301.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and it's the southern and western part of the state.
Yeah.
But the real interesting thing, my Blog Talk Radio live number is a 410 number too. God, mm-hmm. I wonder if that's it. I may be like calling myself. I didn't even realize that. I am.
Oh, for God's sake, you're kidding me.
I don't know how I did that. Oh, my God. Well, anyway.
And the worst part is you hung up on yourself twice.
I hung up on myself twice, yes.
How many people can say that?
Oh, no, wait a minute. I take that back.
Hmm.
I tried to call the number from my Skype.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not the idiot that I appear to. Hey, everybody out there, I just want you to know the Republicans have scheduled the day, January the 12th, 2011. They all got sworn in yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But January 12th, 2011. The healthcare law comes before the House of Representatives for repeal.
Oh, yeah.
That's the day they're voting. Actually, 53% of the people in America in the latest polls, and that is plural, either believe health care should stay or they're disappointed that it didn't go far enough.
Well,
so when people say, only 42% of America is in favor of the health care law, that really isn't true, because there's another 11% who think, and I number myself in that number, that it did not go far enough.
Oh, okay.
And, but January the 12th, they're going to repeal your law. And all you Americans out there, just remember, you got any kids? They now can stay on your health care till they're 26. This law gets repealed, no more. Now it's illegal for a previous condition to prevent somebody in a group plan from insuring you if you change jobs. Repeal this health care law? That is no longer true.
Well, let's look at some of the things the Republicans are proposing. Are you familiar with any of their proposals?
I don't need to hear proposals
But Norm, you should hear some of the proposals. From Ron Paul. He's proposing to strike the antitrust protection from the insurance company. Don't you remember that?
This is the same guy that wants to abolish the Federal Reserve.
Oh, hell yes. And he's also proposing that we allow Americans to import drugs from other countries, providing
they
go
in the law.
That is not. Those are the things that were gutted from the original, from Pelosi's first plan. These were gutted from her plan, and he's trying to put them back in.
Well, fine.
In other words, he's trying
in,
to get
but
it.
Don't repeal the. I'm 100% agree that the law doesn't go far enough. America should be pay health care system. Of that, there is no question.
Now, there's no question that yes, the Republicans want to repeal the mandate. And
well,
I can't say I'm crazy about the mandate either.
Well, you know what?
My insurance
then
will double.
Then they should pass a national law that makes it illegal to require people to have car insurance.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could go there too, but
there.
We stretch the Commerce Clause all out of proportion.
I don't think we have it all, because we have all kinds of commerce now that did not exist when the Commerce Clause was written. We haven't stretched it. We have adopted it to the current conditions.
We have expanded it to the point where it gives the federal government almost unlimited power. And that's from the Supreme Court itself. That is a Supreme Court brief over the last decision they made.
Everybody always says this. Pick something, and I'll tell you which enumerated power of Congress it actually attaches to.
I don't follow. Where are you going?
There are 13 powers of Congress.
Uh-huh.
13 or 14. You know, that are actually enumerated.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is the Commerce Clause, but there is also the Elastic Clause, which gives Congress the power to do whatever is necessary to govern the country.
Here's the deal.
To prevent people from abusing each other.
Okay. Look, the Commerce Clause.
Where in the Constitution does it say that you can't do what Madoff did?
It doesn't say in the... Well,
it doesn't say it. No,
well,
it doesn't.
Of course, it doesn't It doesn't say, the Constitution doesn't say I can't piss on the side of a building downtown, but it's still illegal.
That put him in jail.
Yeah, it'll get me in jail. And even though I may say that it is that arrest interferes with my pursuit of liberty, freedom, and happiness, I'm going to be wrong.
Wait, 410's back.
Okay.
Wait. 410, I'm trying. There you are. 410, I'm trying again. Go ahead, 410.
Can you hear me?
Hey.
I can hear you now, finally. Well, I wasn't even trying to call in. I was just listening. I didn't try to dial in to talk. I was.
Well, you're on the air with Norm.
How you doing?
You want me to hang up on you again?
No, I'm just, I'm surprised to see you on air tonight.
Why is that?
I tried to tune in 2 weeks ago and you weren't on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, 2 weeks ago, that
was
my fault.
Yeah.
That I fell asleep.
And now you're on at 9:30 tonight? What is that about?
Well, that's about the man trying to put the, they only let me schedule the show for a month ahead, and I neglected to realize that this was the first week of January, and so I didn't have a show scheduled, and by the time I realized it, when I called in to schedule it, it was 1 minute after 9 o'clock, so that made me try to schedule a show in what the radio station considered to be the past.
Wow. You are falling apart at age 60.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know who this is now. Another Republican. I'm being besieged by Republicans tonight.
Well,
but that's all right.
Norm, we're just trying to help.
You're just trying to help. Well, actually, there's hope for 410.
He'll get some
there's
balance.
There's hope for him. He's
one of these.
Actually, I've heard him say some wonderful things.
Hey, you heard? Obama wants to put Daley in as chief of staff. I guess he'll have to quit his job at J.P. Morgan, though.
Wait, put who in?
Richard Daley's brother.
Richard Daley, not Richard Daley. Say,
not Daley.
He and Rob would just switch. Not the guy Rob is going to replace.
Yeah, well, this guy is a Daley. He had been Commerce Secretary, apparently. I barely know him.
Hey, you know what?
He's on J.P. Morgan's executive board, so it'll be nice to have another banker in there, you know?
Well, I still am on the air. Let me, I can't put this, I just have to play this song, and so you can, okay, come on, where did it go? No, it's Union. Oh, it's Pete Seeger.
Oh, here we go.
Union songs.
Oh, I've heard of them. I think I've heard quite a few of them long ago, of course, you know.
But this one is Solidarity.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's a real good one.
I imagine
I'll be happy to stay on the line and we can keep talking. Oh, here we go. Solidarity forever. Everybody listen now.
$70,000 salary. I guess I'd probably have solidarity with my fellow government workers.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
the prairie, built the cities where they trade, up the mines and built the workshops, endless miles of railroad lane. Now we stand out as the starving, is the one that we have made, but the union made us strong. Solidarity forever,
General Motors forever, the buyout shows most in
Sal, isn't that great?
It's the worst song I've ever heard in my life. First,
oh,
it's
it
a ripoff.
Not.
Battle Hymn of the Republic, dude. That's the music.
So?
So?
That should be the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
That's about one of the most offensive songs I know. I would ban it from being played anywhere in the country.
The Battle Hymn of the Republic?
Absolutely. It's highly offensive.
And why is that?
If you're a Southerner, it's very offensive. And they're Americans.
Well, the fact is, most of the soldiers in our volunteer army are Southerners.
Yeah, you know, this song just...
Okay, everybody needs to know.
It opens old
wounds,
and it shouldn't
be. Okay, wait, I got to make this announcement. Even though we're not on the air, everything is still in the archive. So please keep that in mind if you're still with us.
Okay.
Oh, my God, 410, man. He hung up.
Oh, well, that song
talking
over. As
soon as we started Battle Hymn of the Republic, or Solidarity. Oh, wait, here's another version of Solidarity.
Oh, you're kidding. You're going to lose all your listeners.
Why?
Because they hate this music.
There can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what forethought
it's even better when you watch it. It's even better when you watch it with the YouTube videos.
I imagine, yeah.
Or have you ever heard Pete Seeger sing the Dropkick Murphys do it too? What side?
Oh, really? Now that could be interesting, I suppose. You know.
Well, let's.
Well, I will, say that, some unions make sense to me. I mean,
here we go. Hold on. Listen.
Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a union man or a J.H. Blair.
Three great picture videos that go with that. The first one has Trump pointing at you.
Oh,
then
really?
It fades to Obama, but then it comes to the best of all.
Mm.
It fades to a shot of Walmart, and Hillary's picture appears over the top.
Oh, God. Well, let's put it this way. You know, if you're a janitorial worker in Vegas or L.A. or you're a farm worker, I see every reason for you to have a union. But if you're a civil servant in Washington, hell no.
Now,
you don't
if you're
even,
a garbage man, well, okay, that was
or
another
Or if you're a garbage
topic,
man
then.
In New York, oh, geez, do you want to get into that?
Yeah, I want to get into that.
That's
Why shouldn't you have? What if you're a policeman?
Well,
why shouldn't you have a union? What if you're a school teacher? Why shouldn't you have a union?
You shouldn't have a union because you're in a salaried position. You work for the government. When you work for the government, you should give up the right to organize.
Oh,
we never,
yeah.
ever
Tell
should have
the
allowed
air
them to do that.
Our
well,
air controller situation is in horrendous shape and has been since they broke
well,
the air controller strike.
And you, well, I know what Reagan did back then, but the deal now is we've got a similar situation in nearly every municipality in the country.
You know what?
What broke the auto industry and the steel industry? Unions did.
Oh, that's crap.
Eventually, they
what
were too expensive
did was
to
let,
hire.
Was let auto workers and steel workers like me.
Well,
it let
see.
Them work for a living wage. It let them not be made to slave
a
for 12
wage.
Hours. It put safety
your,
features
your average
into
auto
the,
worker
it,
makes $58 an hour.
You know what? So
you think,
what?
You think they're worth that?
Hell yes!
Hell no!
And anybody who doesn't
I
think
don't know
they're
any,
worth it should have went and been an auto worker.
There isn't a single assembly line worker in the world worth $58 an hour.
That's
I don't care how
baloney.
Fast you can put
That's
a nut on
baloney.
On a wheel.
And don't you dare blame it on the line workers' salaries, because their wages were 100 times less than the people above them.
Well, maybe they were, but I'll put it this way. All the people who invested in General Motors, what did they get? All the shareholders.
Well,
what did they get?
They got
Nothing.
Bailed out. That's what they got.
Excuse me, the shareholders. The shareholders who owned all
they
that stock.
They got bailed out.
They got zero. That stock
they
was worth
it. Zero.
Don't
that
you,
is such a
don't
lie.
You follow the financial news at all? Bankruptcy means the shareholders are gone. They cease to exist. The shares are worth nothing.
The
new shares,
got their
there are new shares that they just came out with an IPO. But those aren't the original shareholders. The original shareholders,
the original
lost
shareholders
everything.
Were compensated.
They were not compensated.
They were compensated.
The
That's
bond
what the whole bailout was about.
It did not. The bondholders were compensated, and even they only got like 20 cents to the dollar when they should have got everything. Everything. Under bankruptcy law, if it had been allowed to proceed through normal legal course, the bondholders would have got everything. The shareholders would have gotten nothing, and the unions would have had to renegotiate all of their contracts, pensions, benefits, the works.
The unions did that.
Yeah, they gave back a little bit. So now, I think they used
Why
to make.
Why should they have given
they used
back
to make,
anything?
Well, yeah, they used to make $79 an hour, and now they make $58 an hour.
I know. Nothing.
And they also
stopped.
Got a third. And they got a third of the company, something they were absolutely not entitled
to. They bought, whoa,
they
did
bought not
buy a third
it.
Of the company.
They,
did they
not
most
buy
certainly
it. It was
did
given,
buy it.
It was given to them.
That's not true.
Oh, you don't know anything about this at all, do you?
That's simply not true.
Oh, God.
We'll take
really
this up next week. Because
yeah, well, here's the deal. You know, part of the problem was also the massive pension system, which included the health care and all the rest of that. And if it had actually gone bankrupt, like I say, through normal courses, all of that would have been dumped on the pension guarantee fund. Which meant the federal government would have had to absorb the entire General Motors pension fund.
Absolutely.
It would have been
just like they absorbed the whole Bethlehem Steel pension fund.
Well,
Bethlehem
I know.
Steel
but
went belly up.
But we're talking GM now. We're talking something that was so enormous. It was monstrous. So let's face it. The federal government weighed their options, you know. And it was done at the, you know, obviously the shareholders were never going to get anything anyway. But it was done at the expense of the shareholder, or the bondholders. And who were the bondholders? Sadly, everybody else's pension fund. Yes, it was a very sad event, and, you know, I can't say it was done fairly, but, you know.
Well, we can talk about this next week.
Our money back, well, I'll be happy with that.
They're actually turning a profit.
Yeah, well, there's kind of an interesting feature with not only the General Motors thing, because obviously the government doesn't have a profit until they can sell the stock. So they still got to do that. But if they
GM is giving the money back.
Yeah, no. We still own all those shares. We have to sell them. Just like AIG. Now, AIG, we actually have a profit on paper. Believe it or not. But we own 97% of the company, and we've got to sell it. The United States government cannot just stay an investor long term.
Why not?
We're not Russia.
That's not an answer.
Because we're not England.
That's
not
an answer.
Because we're not socialist. No.
But that's not an answer.
The answer is this. You don't show a profit until you actually sell it. Okay? There's your answer.
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
You don't even realize a loss until you sell it.
Right, and you don't realize you have unrealized gains or unrealized losses.
Not if they're paying dividends, you don't.
And they aren't, are they?
I think they are.
General Motors, get out of here.
Okay.
They can't afford that, not yet. I think they're doing very well, and don't get me wrong.
And I have one other question to ponder for next week.
What's that?
Let's just assume with this attack on public employee unions that is just in full scope, even from the community organizer in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
What are all these people going to do?
What are all these people going to do? What do you mean? If they get laid off, they'll probably do like I did or like everybody else did.
What are they going to do? We don't have stuff to do for people now.
Well, they're probably going to do like I did. They're going to take their pensions early. They're going to collect unemployment. They're going to do all the things that unemployed people do.
What are they going to do?
Do you want my sympathy? You ain't getting it. Not here. Look, I'm in Sacramento. Do you know what the problem is? I mean, I'm surrounded by government employees. And many of them have lost their jobs, and many of them have lost 15% of their wages just between the furloughs and the wage cuts. It's been more severe here, I think, than almost any other state.
I know. But when all these people become unemployed, what are they going to do? How do they become reemployed?
Well, some do and some don't. If you're over 50, you can forget about it. Nobody's going to hire you.
I guess.
And if you're, in your 20s, 30s, whatever, you still have a family, all that, you're going to have to hustle, and you're going to do what you need to do, whether it's go back
but
to school.
But there's nothing for them to do.
I don't. Well, what can I say? You're in a depression. Well, a recession. There is some hope, that we'll see more economic activity. But
you can't buy anything if you don't have a job.
Oh, of course you can.
No.
I haven't had a job since 2006. I buy all kinds of stuff.
All right.
Here's something else to ponder for next week.
Next week.
Now, we have, let's call it a plot or a plan or a rumor. But anyway, there are indications that Republicans in the House want to change the bankruptcy laws. And they want to change them in ways that allow the states to declare bankruptcy. Right now, they can't do it. There's no provision whatsoever. But here's the idea. Now, for them, they're thinking, well, if states that are in trouble can declare bankruptcy, they can renegotiate all their debt, which is certainly true. But here's the catch. They can also renegotiate all of their labor contracts and pension plans. Do you see where that's going?
Oh, I know exactly where it's going. And those guys need to be dragged out and hung.
Well, anyway, this is, you know, there's only been like a few hints. There's been like a couple op-eds in the Wall Street Journal but it's on the burn. I have the feeling that sometime within the next year, that will come forth in the House. At least in the House. It'll be discussed, you know. And this is, it's interesting, too, because you do have now a majority of Republican governors, some of whom may be interested in pursuing this course, you know. Now, I think it's a terrible thing, especially California, you know. But it's politically motivated. I believe that the only reason that they would want to go this route would be, you know, more or less to destroy the public unions, you know. But
I understand. That's why it's solidarity time. Maybe it is time. Maybe the Tea Partiers are right. Maybe it is time for another American Revolution.
Well, yeah. Without guns, of course. Yeah.
No, not without guns.
Come on now. Don't advocate something that might get you on the Homeland Security watch list.
Oh, Jesus. No, let's have a constitutional convention to solve the whole thing. Go back to the Articles of Confederation.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Let's have 50 independent republics.
Okay. And everybody will just pick their side.
Let's just abolish the Commerce Clause, and let's see how much better it is.
Well, let's put the Commerce Clause back where it was supposed to be, which was not as extensive as it is now.
I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
And in fact, the first, I don't want to go into it now because I have to actually get ready to teach school tomorrow.
Oh,
so
all right.
I have to go, but it was really fun. It was a lively time.
Oh, yeah.
Solidarity forever.
I'm
going to have to go find the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I can't even remember the words.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
His truth
yes,
is
now
hurting
I remember. All I remember is the song we made up in school.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the
glory
coming
of the burning
Lord.
Of the school. We
oh,
have
okay.
tortured all the teachers. We burned the golden rule. Our truth is marching on. Teacher hit me with a ruler. So I met her at the door with a Colt 44. Our truth is marching on. I remember that from St. Gerard.
Oh, Jesus.
That is a long time ago.
I think so, yeah.
So wait, what was the other one? So I bopped her on the bean with a rotten tangerine. Truth is marching. I'm not much of a singer.
I guess so. Well,
Anyway, yeah. I will see you next week, and thanks for calling in at 9:30, and I won't flub it next week.
Yeah, you should, like, program the month. That's what you usually do.
Right, that's, and I just forgot to do it, and I didn't call early enough. And plus,
okay.
Block Talk Radio wants me off.
All righty. Well, so you'll be out
not just me. It's not aimed at me. It's aimed at freebeers. And there aren't many of us left.
Oh, okay.
And hopefully this show will... I just want to be over 20,000 listeners.
All right.
I can call them up and say, hey, look, 20,000 people listen to me. You're not going to let me be in prime time?
Well, maybe I'll write a script to download your show about 10,000 times, and you'll be there.
Well, no, I only have, I'm at 19,299.
Okay, well then.
Oh, I'm sure by next, if we followed the weekly patterns, either the 11th or the 18th, I'll go over. There's no question in my mind about it.
Well.
And you know, then I'll try to find out, you know, what they say. But I had to use my telephone today because, well, that was another problem. I left my briefcase in Bowie, you know, and it had my laptop and my microphone. Just a mess. And I was going to drive home after school, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I might have actually tuned in earlier and realized, well, I don't know. It's hard to say. And it's hard to do the show from home because you got to make the rest of the house be quiet.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but anyway.
That's what duct tape is for, right?
Yeah, that's what duct tape is for.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it from Norm at Night, coming to you live here from Cat Harbor, Virginia. If you're listening to the second half hour on the archive, thanks for listening, and you may be the 20,000th caller. This is Norm out. Bye-bye.
Take care, man. Good night.
Okay, bye.